and welcome to another of Qantas APMP podcasts. This time it's about the governance topic, and this topic is a summary topic in lots of ways, really, because it involves the use of 12 principles, and the principles really are just a summary of project management best practice.
There's not too much in here that will be wholly new, so we'll just go through each of these principles and just talk around them a little bit and give examples about how you could demonstrate their use. So the first principle is to have life cycle governance that involves approval gates.
I know.
I'm struggling.
Exactly. Just sound. Yeah. Sound excited.
If it's like this for me, I don't know what it's like for you. So this life cycle governance that includes approval gates at which viability is reviewed and approved. In other words, making sure that you have got a project sliced into more manageable chunks. That at the end of the stages at which you have gate reviews, there are key individuals who will meet and reassess the viability of the project, making sure that information which is most pertinent is supplied, so an up-to-date business case. And if the benefits no longer seem to be credible, then there's an argument that the project should end. It's also a suitable juncture in the project to reassess the environment that envelops the project. So in other words, PESL that we've seen elsewhere, or that we've heard elsewhere. So to see if the environment that was in place at the start of the project, can you reconfirm that or have significant changes that might negatively or positively affect the project? The second principle then is to record and approve those decisions made at the gates. So it gives traceability, there's an audit trail, and importantly, accountability. So particularly the steering group members, that they can actually have a record about what decisions they made and the reason for making those decisions. The management board at the top of the organisation ultimately should accept responsibility for governance that covers the entire portfolio program and set of projects. If they don't, then really none of the rest of this may work. And that's why governance as a topic can be quite empowering, because if projects continually fail, that can be an indication of an organisation with low maturity when it comes to project management, so akin to a functional organisational structure that was covered in the organisation structure topic. You can't always blame project managers and project sponsor if there doesn't seem to be a supportive environment in the organisation. So this shifts that responsibility, or makes clear that responsibility lies with those right at the top of the organisation. The next principle is ensuring that there are clearly defined roles, responsibilities and performance criteria for governance, for the implementation of governance throughout the portfolio program and projects, that there is proper accountability. So it's linked to that early principle that we saw. And the next principle, and I'll give you a break from my voice for this one.
Oh, hi. So
well, seamless.
Absolutely. So the next principle is to ensure that all projects, programs and portfolios are in line with the organization's strategy. So that's, again, all these are really common sense, but like a lot of common sense, it sometimes needs stating. So you don't want people starting projects and programs and so on that have nothing to do with it, where your business is trying to get to. The next one is to ensure that there is independent scrutiny of your projects, programs and portfolios, that people are external to your project team come in at various points in the project and independently judge whether or not you're following the correct procedures and so on.
That's where you can see maybe in the public sector, OGC gateway reviews and yep. the use of auditors in the private sector.
Absolutely. The next one is to ensure that you foster a culture of improvement and frank disclosure. So always disclose frank.
I knew that Amy Winehouse album.
Yeah, it was like a joke, wasn't it? But without the funniness. So, so basically what this is about is it's about learning our lessons, but it's also suggesting that in order to have a culture of learning your lessons and continue improving, you need to be open and honest about what you disclose, so you can't have a blame culture.
But how can that be done? We're talking about fostering a culture of improvement. If you were tasked with that, how could you make it more likely that this would happen?
Thanks for that. So you know, when we just come up with a strategy for creating a culture of improvement, well, I'd start a program.
But say if you want to do this, if you kind of think that
you have to get away from this blame culture. I mean, that's the key thing.
How might that be done?
Well, it's an area so vast.
Oh, I've got him on
that
the ropes.
It cannot be discussed.
Summarise it in 50 words, 100 words.
This project, but.
But say maybe if there be incentives, and I think it's linked to some of the other principles as well about accountability. Because you think it's all well and good that you're escalating, say, an issue.
Mm.
But if the person to whom you've escalated it then does nothing or just sends it straight back to you to say, well, what are you bringing this to me for? then it just disincentivizes people from doing that again. And that does happen quite a lot, doesn't it, I think?
Yes.
So maybe tying things into people's performance appraisals.
Well, I once worked with an organization that swore they had a blame log. So they didn't have a lesson. This guy, I mean, I can't believe it, but he actually said, we had a log, it was called a blame log, and if you did something wrong, your name got put in it. So the first thing I would do
like a
to foster
step.
A culture improvement would be to dismiss the blame log. Okay, we need to ensure that delegated bodies have the resources and capability that they're required to make the decisions. So that you can't really delegate responsibility without authority. Is what that's suggesting. Do you want to do the last four, or shall I, Tim? Or two each?
Yeah, I'll do. We'll alternate, will we?
Okay, let's go.
So the next one is ensuring that business case is supported by information that allows reliable decision making. So what can be meant by that really is that people have a tendency to suppress the costs of a project whilst exaggerating the benefits. Mm. So it's making sure that every cost is going to be included. So say, for instance, if the project was going to be involve the delivery of a new IT system, you should also be factoring in the cost to operate and maintain it, so the cost of licenses. With benefits, even if people carry out some kind of rigor on benefits, sometimes they choose the most optimistic view of a benefit. So using three-point estimating on your benefits. So what's the most pessimistic view, the most optimistic view, the assumed most likely view? Because especially if the benefits are monetized, if you just go for the most optimistic benefit and then you suppress your costs, then the comparison is completely false.
Yeah.
So the reliability of the decision making can be achieved by making sure that the information in the business case is credible.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, because if it's in someone's self-interest to get a project approved, it means they'll remain in work or be promoted or whatever it might be. Then they're going to be trying to persuade you that the business case is perhaps better than it is.
And that's it. And you think if like this whole notion of business case, like a case to the business, so a means of persuading the business that this project is worth investing in. And if a project begins on a false premise, it just means that that money hasn't been used elsewhere where it might have derived something that was more beneficial. So there's always going to be more than one call on resources.
Yeah. Okay, the next one then is to ensure that your stakeholders are engaged at a level that reflects their importance. So if we think back to the stakeholder management topic, some stakeholders are identified as having high interest and influence, others of course low, and it makes perfect sense that we should therefore communicate with these people according to their status, so more frequently and at a higher level with those that are more important, less frequently, and perhaps one way with those that are less important. So that's it.
Yeah, and also who actually carries out the engagement. So those that are deemed to be very important and have a high degree of influence, then it'd be likely that that senior members of the steering group, the project sponsors, say, would be carrying out the engagement. So the next principle is the deployment of suitably qualified and experienced people. So within the projects, there should be a resource management plan, a strategy that determines how you're going to acquire resources, but also you should have a plan to state what those resources should be. So if you need to get people of a certain competence, then that's going to affect your recruitment policy. And then the final one?
Very simply, ensuring that all project portfolio and program management adds value. So it's just ensuring that if we're going to do all of this management stuff and follow best practice and everything, that it does actually help. So that's it, 12 principles. One can only assume at this stage that you might be asked to recall some of those for an exam. I think, I can't remember if you said it on this or not, but I know you know it. You don't have to recall those word for word, thankfully, because we didn't read you all the right words. But it's about getting over the essence of what a principle is about. So don't get too hung up on language, but can you actually describe the purpose of a principle? And I think the way to remember it is really just to look around at the various topics we covered, because there are principles associated with them. So there's one about stakeholders, one about the business case, one about gate reviews, and so on. So a lot of them are connected with the topics we covered. That's how you can remember some of them. Okay, well, thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Adam.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.